And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. A little bit of a rush beforehand. My wonderful daughter, Jackie, just came to the studio as well. And greeting her at the door. Of course, having to get past security, you know. And anyway... folks, we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and of course you're watching us on YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for your belief and trust in us each and every weeknight that we broadcast. And don't forget, folks, we've got two different websites. Go to HagmanReport.com. Go there for news, show prep, analysis, and all the information that's important. And also Hagman and Hagman.com. There you can get the show live or get the venue information. And, of course, but both, websites important to bookmark both. I will be resurrecting HomelandSecurityUS.com. I will be doing that, for a lot of reasons, as the situation in Syria and the war that seems to be looming between the United States and Russia, NATO allies and Russia, folks, it's getting very serious. It's been serious, but as you know, back, 3 years ago, we had warned about this day, warned about these events, and now we're seeing coming to fruition. The next couple of weeks, I believe, are going to be extremely important, extremely telling. And, I just really want to make sure people understand that. Now tonight's broadcast, we have in our second hour a guest, Joe.
Joseph Meyer will be coming on in hour two. His website is straightmoneyanalyst.com. And you can, if you go to that website, you can go to the About page and find out more about him. And we'll be giving you a bio. He's been a guest on Caravan to Midnight with John B. Wells, as well as many other radio interviews on mainstream media, as well as magazine and other media outlets. And he is a very well-respected economist and has been doing this for over five decades. So we're going to talk about the global economy, the dangers that the global economy faces, as well as our domestic economy, and what we are looking at as banks continue to warn about a collapse in the imminent future, from HSBC employees to other banks. There was an interesting article that came out today. So we're going to get into that and get a big picture of what is going on both locally and globally when it comes to the economy and what we can expect in the near future.
Right.
And in the first hour, we're going to get into some important news and information. There's a lot going on as we are just 3.5 weeks out of this election, and it can't come soon enough as the mainstream media continues its collusion with the Hillary Clinton campaign. And emails continue to be released from the Podesta emails to paid speeches and emails from the Democratic National Committee, as well as some interesting stories. You know, I see the mainstream media has been reporting on these Donald Trump sexual allegations, from groping to a few other things that they're talking about, inappropriate behavior by Donald Trump towards women.
He gave a speech. Yeah, well, I just want to say, in case you didn't see it, he gave a very historic speech today, and I listened to a lot of it, a lot in real time, and I think in one site they had 30,000 live views, 37,000, I believe. But the but the content of that speech, you know, he did call again for the investigation and potential arrest and you know, potential conviction of Clinton, which And as I was watching it, Joe, I had this overwhelming feeling of I worried for his safety. I worried for Trump's safety, and I still do. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who should pray for his safety. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some of these latest email releases talk about the show the depths of corruption inside the Clinton campaign, and even the WikiLeaks emails of the DNC show organized attempts to create false stories about Trump and women and put them out in the public narrative as though they were Donald Trump's. They even talk about creating fake Craigslist ads,
yes,
under the name of Donald Trump in order to turn and asking, placing an ad on Craigslist for hot women in order to make the Republican candidate look as sexist as possible.
Yeah, and there are emails are so that talk obvious, about though. I mean, that's obvious.
Well, it's not obvious to a lot of people because the majority of the people who pay attention to the media for short periods of time, you know, don't do the follow-up research, see these headlines about Donald Trump allegedly groping people or kissing people, and that's the beginning and end of the story. They're not seeing, you know, these WikiLeaks emails. They're not seeing the coordinated effort between the Clinton campaign and the media, because the media will not report on it, and if they do, they will make it a footnote, or they will do their best to cover up the key points here. And you know, networks like CNN and MSNBC, you get minimal coverage of anything damning to Hillary Clinton, if you get it at all. And yeah, as the election draws near, you're going to see more of these smear campaigns, personal attacks, and dirty tricks from the media and the Clinton campaign. And these also false poll numbers that are being put out, these false polls and poll numbers. And when I say false, it's shown that, you know, they're oversampling Democrats and people who have voted Democrat in the past almost 2 to 3 times more than they're sampling Republicans in these polls, which is giving you the stories with Hillary Clinton and double-digit leads or 7-8-point leads. And they're doing it across the board from state to state. And there's even emails that are showing further collusion between the DNC and the Clinton for the purposes of undermining Bernie Sanders in the democratic process.
Of course. And I have no love at all for Bernie Sanders, but you have to respect the process, and the process is being, there's criminal activity within the process.
Yeah, I was just going over a timeline, and interestingly enough, from one of the emails that was released, Hillary Clinton talks about having Tim Kaine as her vice presidential candidate in July of 2015. This was shortly after, in 2011, he stepped down as the head of the DNC and recommended Debbie Wasserman Schultz to take his place.
Right.
And you could, you know, reach the conclusion that, was this a favor being returned, him being picked for the vice presidency? And there's emails that go to further this point.
That's the one thing that WikiLeaks has done, is laid bare. Now, again, we are with every leak that comes out, we are downloading, almost instantly, all of the information. So we've got, and we're saving on external hard drives, and we're also, every YouTube video or every video that comes out that has some, I'll say, evidentiary value to it with respect to the content, because these are disappearing, a lot of them are disappearing, we're saving offline. And I'll just say that there's, I was reading some assessments of the WikiLeaks documents, and some people were saying that there's no smoking gun, or there's nothing of value in them. And look, unless they knew ahead of time what was in them, how can they say that? Because the information is so vast. I think it took me probably close to an hour to to download the zip files of the leaked documents. So you can't believe what you hear or what you read on the internet. I just want to let people know that. Now, after the next break, I do have some information I want to give to our listeners. So, folks, and I didn't even share this with Joe or anyone, but it does have something to do with the with the topics, the leaks, and also the infiltration point, the point of infiltration, what's taking place within our own camp, and very important. I just want to say that. So, you know what? I want to thank Diane R for sending. If you're listening, I'm not going to get into the actual content of the note that she sent. Diane R, God bless you for sending your note here that we have. She wrote this on October 7th, and it's very nice, and she sent along some very interesting postcards as well, some beautiful images in the San Luis Valley, Colorado, where she is actually from, and I believe that she has taken these images, sunflowerstudios.us.com, sunflowerstudios.us.com. Very, very beautiful images and postcards. But I was really, really impressed by the information that she offered within her letter. And I just want to say publicly thank you to her, and thank you for the cards. But the information you offered is very valuable. And I don't have permission to share this on air, but I just at least want to acknowledge this on air. So, there's a lot of news here. It's, again, we're getting inundated, I think, with, my goodness, these headlines. Joe, we're just, it's difficult to keep up. By the way, yesterday when we had, Debbie on talking about Agenda 2030, Melinda had sent an email, and I didn't get a chance to say this during Debbie's appearance last night, but Melinda had written that the Fish and Wildlife tried to fine Melinda, her family, $100 a day, and threatened to toss her husband in jail because a rainstorm washed out their driveway. And what happened was, the Fish and Wildlife Commission insisted that they install a fish passage system. It ended up costing $400,000. She writes, "We couldn't afford that. Are you surprised? So we dedicated our front acre to the city for them to build the culvert." In other words, she ceded her property to the government, which the reason I bring this up is, I mean, our forefathers revolted for less. Just to touch base on what we talked about yesterday, this is just incredible. Melinda, our prayers are with you, and certainly our thoughts are with you, but you know, what we're seeing here is this government tyrannical takeover of private property under the auspices or under the pretext of green space, fish and wildlife preserves, you know, got to save the salamander, whatever. But it's big business. Go ahead, Joe.
It is. And that was a great show last night, folks. If you want to go back and listen to the hours 2 and 3, we talked about Agenda 2030 and the federal government's plan to and working with the United Nations to implement the agenda. And that's part of, you know, what has been released in the emails, one of the more important ones, Hillary Clinton's call for a hemispheric government with open borders and open trade.
Gee whiz.
Is right, basically right from the, you know, Agenda 21 handbook on how to create a sustainable global government.
Yeah.
You mentioned the what was going on in the Middle East, the conflict and potential for more military action in the Middle East. We have a few important stories. there were reports that a Yemen rebel group had fired a missile, the second one in a week,
yep,
at a U.S. destroyer that was answered today by the United States military as they bombed three separate Yemeni rebel targets in what they called limited self-defense strikes.
This is to mess with the Suez Canal, correct? Or
the Red, this was in the Red Sea.
Okay.
From what happened, and Iran deployed a destroyer, and the U.S. Only launched those three strikes in retaliation to the missile that was launched at the U.S. destroyer twice this week. So we'll see what happens there. But the big thing is Syria, and there's an interesting article on Zero Hedge. Obama to decide Friday on military action in Syria, and it talks about how the U.S. broke off bilateral relations with Russia over ongoing proxy war in Syria.
Yep.
And as part of America's next steps would be a discussion on military options. Reuters reported that discussions are being held at the staff level and have yet to produce any recommendations to the president, but they are talking about ordering military actions in Syria against President Assad in the country's multi-sided civil war. The president has asked all of the agencies to put forward options, some familiar, some new, that we're very actively reviewing. And this is from Reuters talking to a person inside the U.S. intelligence agencies. And what they say is, when we are able to work through these in the days ahead, we'll have an opportunity to come back and talk about them in detail. Now, Friday, tomorrow, Obama is going to meet with top foreign policy advisors to consider what military options they have in Syria against Syrian and Russian aircraft as they continue to pummel Aleppo and other targets. As the tensions rise,
they can't bring World War III fast enough. That's all.
Yeah. They say if they don't do something now, they're going to risk losing what influence they still have over the moderate rebels and its Arab, Kurdish, and Turkish allies in the fight against the Islamic State. Now, that's what the spokesman said. And what's interesting about this article is that they're talking about taking some kind of military action without the approval of Congress.
Of course.
Which is this continued pattern of warmongering. You know, we saw it in the last eight-year presidency by George Bush. We're seeing it this presidency with Obama through drone strikes and other increasing of war in different countries, from Iraq to Afghanistan to Syria to the Arab Spring and the situation we have now. But the U.S.-Russian relations, at least on paper, look pretty bad. I don't know, you know, how much of this is being done to create a public perception that makes it seem like that we're on the edge of conflict versus actually being on the edge of conflict with Russia. But they, this article ends by saying that they consider it unlikely that Obama will order airstrikes on the Syrian government targets, and stress that he may not make any decisions with the National Security Council, but that all bets are off when Obama is replaced by his successor, whoever that may be.
Well,
he chooses to take action.
Sadly, I feel it's going to be Clinton, if at all. But here's, you might ask yourself, well, okay, what's going on with what you're talking about with Syria? And again, I've often said, and I'll say it again, Syria is really the epicenter of World War III. That's going to be the trigger point. But folks, listen to this, because this will give you an idea as to why the cover up, why the, what the problem is with respect to Syria and the Middle East. And once you understand, once you approach this as a criminal investigation rather than a geopolitical investigation, then you'll understand what's going on here. And also, you identify the players. What the WikiLeaks email expose has done is they've laid bare the players, the co-conspirators in this, the people who are involved at this. And it pains me to listen to the media, or, well, even some in the alternative media who are not getting to the root of the issue, of the issues. And one of the biggest issues is, of course, at the epicenter of everything is the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. You cannot understate the importance of the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation has in its grasp, through its monetary reach and such, not just Democrats, not just communists or Democratic National Socialists or communists, but you've got, and not just Hillary and Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, which she is neck deep in this as well. Don't even consider Chelsea Clinton as some, child here. She is involved, in my view anyway, in, it's my opinion, in espionage and seditious activity as much as Bill and Hillary, her alleged parents, at least when it comes to Bill. Maybe it's Hillary and Webb, that's mom and dad for Chelsea. But having said that, here's what's really important. If Joe Klein referenced this, and he's a good investigative journalist, but one of the things that I want to get to really quick here before the bottom of the hour is, once you understand, folks, that Saudi Arabia and Qatar or Qatar or whatever, however you want to pronounce Qatar, that stupid country, yeah, they are funding ISIS and the Clinton Foundation. These emails, the Podesta emails, have laid bare the players here. WikiLeaks released in August 2014 email from Hillary Clinton to John Podesta, who currently serves now as Hillary's campaign chairman, stating that the governments of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, maybe that's a good pronunciation, they have been providing covert or clandestine financial and logistical support to ISIS. Now, he refers to ISIS as ISIL. And let me explain to you the distinction once more between ISIS and ISIL. When Obama or anyone else in the media or in government refers to ISIS as ISIL, they are slapping Israel down. Obama, his regime, and others who refer who use ISIL, ISIL, as opposed to ISIS, is a demonstration of anti-Semitism. This ISIL is a reference to the Levant, which ISIL, of course, Islamic State of Syria and the Levant. It refers to the old Ottoman Empire, wherein there was no recognized Jewish homeland. The more commonly used is ISIS. It stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. So you have to ask yourself, why the name change? Is it because of some geopolitical? No, it's a slap. They know more than you do or I do, you see. So they're gonna call it ISIL, but this is really an insult to the Jewish homeland. So whenever on this program, this is going to be a rule now. Eric? Huh? Okay. Corporate meeting minutes. Write this in the corporate meeting minutes. Joe, you too. We will not use ISIL. Smack him. I can do that because he's my son. ISIS is what we're, because ISIL ISIL is a nothing but a slap to Israel. And we don't do that here. It's anti-Semitic garbage, but.
And it adds confusion also.
Well, yeah. I mean, so when you look at these emails, and there are some nuggets here. In 2014, August, there was an email from Hillary Clinton to John Podesta, wherein he verified that Saudi Arabia and Qatar have been providing clandestine financial and logistical support to ISIL and other radical Sunni groups in the region. Now, it's interesting because at the same time, well, in December of 2014, if you follow the timeline, Obama came out in the mainstream corporate garbage, Illuminati-controlled mass muffled media and praised Saudi Arabia's significant role in helping fight ISIS. What the hell are you talking about? You're funding it. Okay, now, this, you know, Prince with 75 names and too many vowels. Prince Mohammed bin Naif bin Abdulaziz. He's the Minister of the Interior of Saudi Arabia. At a meeting he hosted with Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, yeah, the Emir of Qatar, at the White House in February of 2015, Obama said, "Qatar is a strong partner in our coalition to degrade and ultimately defeat ISIS." What a bunch of crap. What a load of bunk. Obama is lying. Hillary is lying, and they're laughing at you. So these emails that WikiLeaks uncovered, for better or for worse, it exposes the fact that Hillary Clinton, the foundation, the Clinton Foundation, and while she was Secretary of State, funded ISIS, provided material support to ISIS, provided money to ISIS. What, folks, to the Democratic, to the mind-numb, popsicle-sucking Democratic National Socialist following idiots out there, what don't you understand about a Secretary of State that is seditiously and with treason and malice funding the people that are cutting the heads off of Christians in the Middle East?
Well, see, yet, I think they support that kind
of
stuff.
Well, so. Of course. But wait a second. No. We got to make an issue about Donald Trump, about his oogling or his locker room talk or whatever it might be. It's a diversion to get it off of the content. We, the United States, funding ISIS and killing Christians. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're going to continue hitting news this segment, followed by economist Joseph Meyer coming up in hour two. His website is straightmoneyanalyst.com. I want to touch on a couple numbers. This is from July of 2016, but this goes over a few of the numbers that have been going, things that have been going on with our economy as far as jobs, food stamps, and whatnot. According to fact checkers, factchecker.org, the economy has added more than 10 million jobs, they say, since Barack Obama took office. They also say the buying power of the average worker's weekly paycheck is up 4.4%. But some of the numbers that look on the downside here, you have a drop of 53% of immigrants who have been caught trying to illegally enter the United States. So more than 50% drop. And it's not due to less people coming in. That is due to the amnesty and immigration policies of the president. The federal debt has more than doubled, and annual deficits are on the rise again. Homeownership is down by 4 percentage points, and oil imports are down 53%. Now, this one is interesting. The number of Americans on food stamps since Obama took office is up 36%.
There we go. Hey.
And new WikiLeaks emails on Hillary Clinton's paid speeches. Hillary told roomful of businessmen that more food stamps will fix the economy. She urged that expanding the food stamps and other safety net programs is essential to fuel economic growth. At a speech to General Electric executives, according to an excerpt from the transcript made public by WikiLeaks, economic growth will take off when people in the middle feel more secure again and start spending again, Clinton said in her speech. And she goes on to say that, as this is part of 80 pages of transcripts from private business and events that her campaign flagged as potentially damaging if released, the file compiled by campaign research was attached to one of the leaked emails from John Podesta. And Clinton made remarks while the Republican-controlled House of Representatives was debating reducing funding for the SNAP program in 2014. So what she's saying is giving people income assistance like food stamps will help the economy because families on food stamps will have more money to spend. We need to get back to Henry Ford paying his workers a high wage, because he wanted people to buy his cars, Clinton told the group. And she goes on to cite other statistics, but more than 43 million Americans currently receive food stamps, and the government will pay about $45 billion in benefits per year, according to the U.S. Department of Agricultural data. So if what we see with a Hillary Clinton presidency is an increase in this, and she wants to continue adding people on food stamps, and it is, I mean, we already have, what, 93 million Americans receiving some form of assistance. That's over, or about one-third, close to one-third.
This is to create, obviously, to create the dependency, mm-hmm. because they cannot, the globalists cannot take over our country without creating that dependency. So, and there's a tipping point. Of course, Cloward-Piven, you study the Cloward-Piven strategy, which is overwhelming the system. This is exactly what the, and folks, again, you popsicle-looking, mind-numbed people out there who believe in the mainstream media blubber and blabber, this is what you're going to expect or come to expect. More of those numbers. The numbers are going to increase. It's going to overwhelm the system, and that's, of course, the social dystopia. Meaning a social utopia, a socialist utopia, which is nothing more than the dystopian existence of the United States. You were talking about numbers, and I want to get back to Saudi Arabia because I do have some numbers here. But before I do, folks, I want to give you some numbers. Kevin Shipp was a CIA analyst and officer, wrote a book from the Company of Shadows. In fact, when he first wrote that book, we were the first radio interview that he did, and of course there was a code within that book. Some of the longtime listeners will remember that that interview to circumvent the CIA censors, and it's really interesting. But this coming a little bit from Kevin Shipp's, some of this information coming from Kevin Shipp in a recent talk he gave. But this coming, these numbers, I assembled these numbers specifically for this program tonight. Listen to this, all right? We talk about the shadow government. We talk about the deep government, the deep state government, the shadow government. We talk about the Luciferian global elite. Well, who are they, and what is that? Really, what is that? Is it just tinfoil hat conspiracy crap nonsense, right? Is that what it is? Well, listen to this. As of today, right now, there are 1,271 government agencies involved in secret programs, all right? 1,271 government agencies involved in black ops programs. Let that sink in for a second. 1,271 government agencies involved in black ops programs.
Didn't even know we had that many government agencies.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, mind-blowing. 1,931 private companies involved in the same. All right? Nearly 2,000 private companies have been enlisted and are involved in black operations or off the book operations. And these are NGOs. These are companies that are under the secrecy clause, circumventing essentially the Constitution. Inside the United States, and this might blow your mind, there are 10,000 secret intelligence locations inside the United States. When I say secret intelligence locations, they could be think tanks, they could be operational bases, whatever they might be, but 10,000 located in the United States. And may I remind everyone that when we're dealing with this, and especially with the CIA, their mandate, their charter is non-domestic. What are we doing with 10,000 locations here in the United States? And think about that number. That's a lot of secret intelligence locations. How about this? A number of Americans holding... And I'll ask... I'm going to toss this question out to you, Joe. How many Americans do you think... And if you're off, I'm not going to... You know, I mean, because I had no clue. But how many people... Do you think, how many Americans do you think hold a security clearance issued by the government? How many Americans are bound by the secrecy agreement, secret designation security clearances in the United States? How many people?
I'd say 2 million, maybe.
It's closer to 4.8 million that we know of. All right.
And we have all the private contracting companies now working with military institutions and intelligence agencies. So,
yeah,
that's probably what led to a somewhat of an increase in that number.
Well, I kind of out of the 4.8 million, how many hold top secret security clearances? And there are obviously clearances well above that, but there's 854,000 right now, give or take, that currently hold top secret security clearances for the U.S. government. You think we're a little bit top heavy on the secrecy here? You talk about the JFK's speech of secrecy is morally repugnant. Well, here it is. And I found this extremely interesting. The agencies, some of the agencies involved in issuing these security clearances, involved in black ops, and also binding their workers, some of their workers and employees and contractors to the giving up their rights under the Constitution to the black ops operations. Include, of course, the CIA, the FBI, NSA, but also included in this, the National Weather Service and NOAA. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That goes back to Dane Wigington and the geoengineering.
Geoengineering Watch.
Yeah. So you've got to know that there's something going on. I'm headed, there's a place I'm going with this. And I've hinted at this before. I've made some statements before, but I really want to drive this home now. Now, you get the scope of this. The CIA has got something called InQtel. I don't know how many people are familiar with that. You're familiar with that, mm-hmm. Joe, InQtel. Well, InQtel is a basket, I suppose, of... I don't even know how would you describe InQtel. I guess they recruit companies. It could be as large as Google, for example, or as small as some mom and pop operation. But InQtel collects the businesses and they co-opt them, and they work for this, essentially work for the CIA. All right. In this post-constitutional government in which we live today. Now, here's why I bring this up, because concurrent with the email releases, and I think some people might, the Podesta email release, and this is one thing that may surprise many people, because there is a website, it's a known conservative website based in the UK, this according to the Podesta email release. Heat Street, founder. Do you know of the Heat Street
Yeah, that's website? Been a website that's had seen a huge rise in traffic during this election cycle.
Right, and it's supposedly conservative, UK-based conservative. All right. Well, one thing, if you look...
I've wondered where that just popped up from.
Well, okay. But the Podesta emails of here lately revealed that the Heat Street founder... conservative-based Heat Street UK website founder Louise Menchie is an advisor for the Hillary Clinton campaign, is close to Hillary Clinton. Now, folks, again, think about this, and think about what I've been saying here for the last couple of several weeks, months maybe, about the infiltration and about how people on our side have been co-opted, and what you think you know to be true is not true at all. Now, I'm not saying this. The Podesta emails revealed that the Heat Street founder, this conservative, UK-based conservative website, Louise Menchie, is working for Hillary Clinton, the campaign. This according to the Podesta email disclosure. I will say this. This is not confirmed, but this is based on my investigation. I personally believe, it's my professional opinion, that all of the anti-Trump material that has been released by Paul Ryan, in the GOP establishment that includes the Bush family, and that includes the current Republican senators and congressmen. Now think about that. The reason I mentioned, I'm going to go back one step, and the reason I mentioned about Heat Street is because, of course, Luis Menchie is an author of books that are supposedly, and an author of articles that supposedly take Hillary Clinton to task. But on the flip side of that, you've got this supposedly conservative, allegedly conservative person that's working for Hillary Clinton. But you wouldn't know it because she is coming out and writing articles to the contrary. We see this here directed at the alternative news media, and this is extremely important. What we're seeing take place right now against Hagman and Hagman Report, against myself personally and others, including people like Dave Hodges, Alex Jones, Rick Wiles, Steve Quayle, we have the same problem, or we are experiencing the same blowback here. You would think, okay, you may come across on the internet people saying, oh, well, they're really, the big thing is they're not Christians. They're bad Christians. Oh, they're just they're fear porn people. They're whatever this or that. And you look at who's lobbying the accusations, and it would appear that they could be legitimate Christians or legitimate conservatives having legitimate complaints. Well, the very playbook that I just gave you, the fact that the Podesta emails ripped open, laid out that Luis Menchie, as the founder of Heat Street website, is actually working on behalf of Hillary Clinton, is the exact, and I mean the exact, architecture behind the attacks that we face. So, the reason I brought this up is all of us in the alternative media, which has now been branded alt-right, folks, we are now on the hot list, the short list, for censorship, which is a good thing in my view, because now we've, I don't want to say we've made it to the big leagues, but we're making a difference, because you're not going to get fired at unless you're over the target. So I think we are accomplishing our mission of information and sharing information analysis. But we are fighting this Leviathan, as I mentioned before, we're fighting this Leviathan of black operations of 1,271 government agencies involved in these secret black ops, and 1,931 private corporations, and over 10,000 secret intelligence locations located here in the United States, and 4.8 million people in this country holding security clearances, many of whom are involved in the black ops, and the 854,000 plus holding top security clearances. And the
think of the money that it takes to fund these black ops operations that are in, you know, those staggering numbers that you just mentioned. And we see the banks that pay these fines every year for laundering hundreds of billions of dollars in drug money, to the increase in the opium production that has come out of Afghanistan, that continues to grow in Afghanistan, directly related to the U.S. intelligence agencies. It's mind-blowing to think of the money that's wasted on these operations, and how many of these operations and black ops teams and operations are to do something that furthers America's interests in a positive way. I don't think any of them, not too many of them do. What they are doing is subverting nations and organizations, overthrowing governments, carrying out assassinations, trying to influence politics from the shadows, and doing so while partnering up with private companies in a way that, you know, after this next election, when you talk about the censorship and the flack that we're catching now, could result in much more drastic measures being taken by a fascist type government that we're looking at. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, I mean, you look at the media love affair they have with Clinton, where they are literally giving her cover in this presidential election, giving her protection, and completely slandering the enemy, all in the hopes that when she becomes president, they will get access and favors and continue, you know, the money gravy trains and relationships, backdoor deals that go on that really have destroyed our governmental system over the years. That's just going to continue to increase the pay-to-play scandals, the private access, you know, favors for favors. That's what we're seeing. And the only way to break the cycle is to make sure she doesn't get elected. That's our only hope, really. And then we don't even know what that will look like. But I just wonder how much an annual budget for black operations, what that looks like. It has to be just mind-blowing.
They don't know. See, and that's interesting you brought that up, because it's been admitted that no one knows. All right, now you have the Electronic Stabilization Fund, which is the conduit for funding the black ops. But still, no one knows. Congress doesn't even know. And no one knows. It's that out of control. You might say, well, somebody does know. Well, perhaps they've got a ballpark figure. But when you're talking those numbers, as I gave, and those joining us late, I mean, folks, the numbers that consist of, that comprise the shadow government, and I'm just going to hit them one more time. Bear with me for those who have heard this before, but for those joining us late, you've got, within the shadow government, you've got 1,271 government agencies involved in secret black operations. You've got 1,931 private corporations that are involved in the same. You've got over 10,000 sites located inside the United States that are intelligence locations, that are operational intelligence locations, contrary to the mandate or the charter of the CIA, which is non-domestic. You've got 4.8 million, almost 5 million people holding, Americans holding security clearances, bound by the secrecy agreement. And Kevin Shipp had given a recent expose at one of the, it was Geoengineering Watch, I believe, at a conference, and there was this question: why aren't whistleblowers? Why aren't there more whistleblowers coming forward? Because the apparatus will destroy, not just destroy you, not just destroy you professionally, but you sign that piece of paper, and trust me when I tell you this: when you do operational work as an operational or informational asset for the CIA, and you sign that piece of paper, that's dedicated, or it's specific to the job that you're doing for that agency. Trust me when I tell you, you are signing over every single right. You've got no constitutional rights. You sign on that line, they own you. The CIA owns you. Not only do they own you, they own your family. They own every breath you take. They could, it's hideous. But you do so willingly out of the feeling of patriotism, obviously. You think you're helping, and think back, you know, to after 9/11. You want to help, right? And you believe the lie. Some believe the lie. I believe the lie. So you want to help. So you sign that on the dotted line to be an operational asset, for example, for, I don't know, for a government agency. I'm just speaking hypothetically here. But when you sign that piece of paper, you ain't got no more rights. None. And your family doesn't either. So they could dose you with Agent Orange or LSD or, you know, whatever it might be. Agent Orange, what am I thinking? Sarin gas, I don't know, whatever. And you know, cause you to grow up two heads or whatever. Too bad for you. There's nothing you can do. And if you break that secrecy agreement, not only will they disappear you, your family, but, generations to come, they'll wipe you out. Those people who are, you ask, well, where are the whistleblowers? It's not just losing your job, no. Or it's not being, you know, the threat of jail, no. I mean, this is the threat of extermination. And trust me when I tell you, it's that severe. So, you've got the occasional Snowden, or which he's hiding for a reason, or avoiding coming back for a reason, obviously. So all of that, but I just, so it's very interesting, and I would caution everyone, because there's been so many articles written about Clinton, for example, and this began a couple of years ago, where, I mean, whether it's related to the to Whitewater or related to whatever it might be related to, Vince Foster, okay, total bunk. So you've got to be careful what you believe, because there are morsels of truth in there, but it diverts from the truth, and that's probably the worst, in my view, the worst possible. When you are told a lie, and there's elements of truth in that lie, and you believe it to be true, but it's meant to divert you from the truth.
That's how most lies are effective with truth in them. Whether it's, 25% truth or 95% truth, I think the most effective lies are the ones with the most truth in them.
And then you find out, for example, that, I thought this author was, or this web writer or this journalist was, working for the conservative Christian cause. No, they're not. No, not even close.
And a lot of conservatives, or so-called conservatives and Republicans, are pushing for Hillary Clinton in order to keep their own corruption going, their own ways of gaming the system for money and power to continue. And it's a lot of these establishment, what you'd call hardline Republicans, like Lindsey Graham, John McCain.
There you go.
The Bushes.
Yes.
Even the that Donald Trump lewd comment video that released. Nephew or a grandson of George H.W. Bush, right, who was on tape with him. And you have to wonder how long they had that tape for. And I was listening to an episode of Rick Wiles where he was quoting a minister who believed that the Republican Party, and he said this, was responsible for the leaks of
that to be the truth.
And that tape.
Talking with Rick Wiles.
A strategic leak release. And just like these other, women accusers. I understand one of them is the secretary for the Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
And the
yes.
other one has been called out by a family friend as being a liar, and who gave an interview in 2003 to the People magazine. And that never came up. They never talked about that. They talked about Trump in the People magazine interview, but she never made reference to the alleged groping or kissing or whatever it was. But the
say it again.
The one Trump accuser is or was a secretary at the Clinton Foundation.
There you go. You see the incestuous nature of this.
You don't say anything for, 10, 20, 30 years, but 2-3 weeks before the presidential election that Donald Trump's involved in, all of a sudden people are coming out of the woodwork. And I hope he's smart enough and is sincere enough that he does sue Hillary Clinton, because there is coordination shown in the Podesta emails that they not only were going to push this narrative of Donald Trump being sexist, but that they were going to actually try to make up a narrative of their own by planting false evidence and then pushing the fact that Donald Trump, they're trying to create a false Craigslist ad that are searching for hot women, and then turn around and say, look what Trump is doing.
It's going to be exponentially worse than that, Joe, because it's going to be more nefarious. And you can, but Joe and I, we are on the case. We even have Epstein's black book downloaded, 92 pages.
That came out a few years ago.
Yeah,
folks, listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back with economist Joseph Meyer after this. Stay with us.